Welcome to the Sexy and the Squirrel podcast, the podcast that turns dog training on its tail with a whirlwind of playful learning that achieves real life results. Each episode is packed with inventive games-based training solutions supported by our Games Club, the ultimate dog training membership, with a team of pro trainers helping you every step of the way. Think of us as your go-to squad of experts. I'm Lauren Langman, a top-level agility competitor, best-selling author, owner of one of the largest dog training facilities in the UK, and a founder of the Sexy and the Squirrel Challenge, a challenge that's helped over 130,000 dog owners get real-life results. Our team consists of experts in scent, detection, obedience, naughty but nice, search and rescue, tracking, the intricacies of why your dog does what they do, and so much more. Our mission, whether you're wrangling a bitey sharky puppy or you're teaching an old dog new tricks, we are here to help you be the very best dog owner that you can be for your dog. So grab your dog, their favourite reward, and a sense of adventure. It's time to transform your training sessions. Ready, set, play. Welcome to the Sexy and a Squirrel podcast, powered by the Games Club.
I'm joined by the wonderful Karen today. She's got Rupee, I think, beneath your feet chewing, right, Karen?
Yes, that's right. And very loud hearing, so apologies if anybody can hear.
Oh, he's being a good boy. Now, Rupee, we know, can be naughty but nice, can be reactive, can be a little bit difficult with people or tricksy with dogs. And actually, I know that tricks have really helped Rupert. Can you tell our students, our audience, everyone listening, how have tricks helped you and Rupert?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, there's so many benefits to tricks, from fitness to skills to all sorts of stuff, but I think the biggest thing that they have done for us is given us something fun to focus on and to enjoy doing together. I think when you have a challenging dog, and walks aren't necessarily the relaxing thing you maybe imagined they were going to be, and you've got behaviors in the house that can be a bit challenging as well. Rupert can be a bit of a resource guarder, so bits and pieces of life are quite challenging. So tricks is just a brilliant way to have some fun together. They build skills that he needs, but they do it in a really fun way. So I think that's where I love them the most.
I love that. I really love that. And what I really love is that they've kind of allowed you and him to have a more fun relationship, knowing that actually in the past, there probably have been more than enough challenges. I think you've had more than your fair share of challenges. I always think to myself, why Karen? Like, you are the easiest going person to work with and to deal with. Like, you're just the nicest person to train. And yet he throws so many challenges at you. And I think, you know what? Tricks are a really happy part of your relationship with him.
Yep. Yes, they are. And he loves doing them. If I get his pole and his rings out, or if I get a platform out and we do some foot targeting, it doesn't matter what it is, really. If we're doing something, he's having fun.
Love him. Just love him. And he does. I mean, God, he does everything from like the romantic spaghetti scenes to to pancakes to, like, he's been a bit of a chef too, right, with his tricks.
Yes. Yeah. He has joined in some of our funny videos where we've made pancakes and we've baked treats and we've done all sorts of things. And he doesn't mind getting a bit dressed up to look a bit daft to make some fun videos. But he just enjoys it.
And he is brilliant at it. He really is brilliant. Now, I know that you've got some really good tips and tricks and hacks for tricks. Now, are you willing to share some? And would you like to maybe share some of the ones that have been most meaningful for you? Because I know, for example, one of the things you've struggled on is Rupert holding things. So it's a really brilliant area to have in tricks, because you can do so much with it when they can hold things. And I know that watching Eliza and Katie do trick training, if they hold things, it makes life a lot easier for some of the later stages of other tricks. What tips, tricks, would you share, hacks, would you share for some of the games that you've been doing with him?
It's holding things, or holding a wooden spoon is what he can do at the moment in his mouth. It took us so long. It was one of those ones that I tried and we didn't get anywhere, and we gave up for a while, and then we came back and I thought maybe a bit of latent learning will be a bit better, and we're not. And then I went away and watched how somebody else did it, and we tried that and we came back and we still couldn't crack it. There've been a few tricks that I've worked on with Rupert that have been like that, where we've really struggled and made no progress, and then something somebody said cracked it for us. And I'm sure that is unique to Rupert to some extent. There'll be something different, some different tweak that makes it work for each dog, depending on how they learn and what kind of clicks for them. But for us with that one, because we taught it as a shaped a shaped retrieve. So I taught him to be happy with a spoon in his mouth, and then we animated it a bit and got a bit of arousal and a bit of frustration so that he clamps onto it. And we were happily working through all of those stages, probably for years on and off, and we just could not get it. And then somebody said, basically make him think about something else. So get him to hold it, and then get him doing something he really loves. So spinning, so a movement behavior. And that changed it really, really quickly.
Amazing.
So that's another thing about tricks. Once you've got something that they enjoy doing, you can use that to teach them to enjoy doing something else as well.
Absolutely. So behavior rewarding behavior, I think, is a really great stage to be at. I remember my late dog, Reef was his name, and he was a good old boy. He was sweetie. And I would do a lot of reversing with him, and he'd reverse the whole distance of the building. Like, he could reverse, and he would be like, reverse, and he would reverse all the way back. But partway through it, I might put a spin in just to keep it a bit of fun. So you might put a left or a right, and his cues were left and right. So it'd be reverse, left, right, reverse, like to give him a bit of a breather in between, because if not, it can be quite taxing. Same as like we watch, I know you recently were training with lovely Linda here.
Yes.
And she's amazing, isn't she? We need to give her a shout.
She's been training with Linda.
So much fun. Love, 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 love training with Linda. Linda's one of our trainers. She's an obedience trainer. If you want to get some more tips and tricks and hacks from her, she's definitely part of the Games Club with us. And Linda does, within her heel work routines, because she obviously does competitive championship ticket level obedience, within her heel work routine, she does a lot of left and right spins and tricks and things that make it a bit more busy and a bit more fast and a bit more fun, Karen. Because ultimately, if you do the same thing over and over, it does get a bit dull, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No dog, well, most dogs don't want to do the same thing over and over and over again. And it's not a fun way to learn. But yes, if you inject some fun into it, some movement is what Rupert really enjoys. So similar to Reef, he likes to do lefts and rights. He likes to go into middle and then reverse around me. He likes to do all of those things, which are movement, which make him feel powerful and optimistic, I think, is why he likes them. And also, he generally likes to move. So yeah, that definitely adding that kind of stuff in, particularly if you're learning something a bit more challenging. So if we're working on a harder trick, we'll break it up with something that's easier.
That makes complete sense. So breaking up your tricks with something that's a light relief and easier, and behavior rewarding behavior, which I think is fantastic. Now, some of our listeners are never going to have done any of this before. You might not have even seen our amazing tricks book. And our amazing tricks book does go into a lot of this, right, Karen? Like, maybe just give us a quick recap on the tricks book, because I know you're a mega, mega, mega fan. And I know that you love all of the intricacies. And I know how much impact that's had for you. So tell us a little bit about that, and how maybe that might be a good place to start for people.
Tricks book is massive. So if you want a good feet on object, you've got one there for a start.
1.1 kilos of tricks. Like, oh my goodness.
It gives you all the foundations. So it gives you all the kind of behavior. If you've not worked on tricks, so how to use food and how to get your dog happy with being lured by food, because luring dogs into positions for tricks is quite a key skill. Rupert actually doesn't particularly appreciate being lured. He finds it quite challenging. I think he goes quite sticky and still, which is not typical of him in other situations. But with luring, or with the game that we call Paint and Sound Red, he really doesn't appreciate it that much. But there's lots of tips in that book about how to get a dog who finds that type of luring challenging happier with it, by kind of same kind of principles, injecting some movement, giving them lots of easy wins. So the book's got all of that kind of foundational stuff in it. And then for each trick, there's different ways to teach it. So if it's, say, for Rupert with hold, if one kind of style of teaching wasn't really working for him, I could have a look and see, oh, well, there's a different way to try.
And if you think about when you're training, like for me personally, I quite like to be able to visualize it as well. One thing I really like about the book is that you actually have it as a bit of a very much a good visual aid. Explain that for everybody.
Yeah, so it's got lots of fun pictures in as well, with some step-by-step of how the trick looks from the early stages through to the finished trick. So you have got a visual of what you're doing, along with a lot of words to help you.
And in terms of the visual, I think the thing with tricks is, like you said, there's no one sort of size fits all, and there's no, I like the fact we've got lots of options, because some tricks are more correct for a dog than others. So tell us some of Rupee's favorites. So for me, I know Liza's little dog, Katie, does a lot of tricks. There are some I really would prefer she didn't do. And there are lots that I would say definitely go for them. And Katie's typically around jumping. Liza does a lot of jumping tricks. And I'd prefer she maybe did a few more statics. But you know what? They do a lot of jumping tricks. What are some of your favorite go-tos? And are there a few that you maybe avoid with him?
So lots of targeting tricks we do with Rupert. They get him thinking because he can, particularly when he's a bit more excited, lose his brain quite quickly. So anything which gets him thinking and works on his precision. So he really likes, he learned really early on, actually, before I ever started doing any tricks with him properly, he learned really early on to ring a bell with his paw. So we've worked on anything that kind of builds on that. We've got a remote treat dispenser, treat and train type thing, and he can actually feed himself because he can press the button and then get it dispensing food, which obviously I don't let him do because he would just empty the machine. But he loves to do stuff like that. Anything that kind of gets him thinking a bit. He also loves middle, standing on middle with his feet on my feet. He loves learning to put his toys in a box was one we worked on, which built on his retrieve, which was also really useful for us because he can tend to guard stuff. So for example, if he steals my underwear, which he doesn't often do because I don't leave it anywhere where he can, but he will, if he gets hold of something like that, he can be a little bit guardy of it. So working on putting toys in a box and then leveling that up so that he could go and retrieve a sock and put it in a box was really helpful because he then understands that you put a sock in a box and then you get rewarded with food. And if he steals a sock now, I don't try and get it off him and put him in a conflict situation. I get a box and he puts it in the box.
And I remember a situation just like this, Karen. It was with a friend's dog, and he was a lovely, lovely boy. He's passed now. But I was at a puppy class with him. It was a vet party, and I was running the vet party, actually. And I took him along with me because I thought it'd be quite a funny experience for him. Like, I thought it'd be good fun. Actually, it was terrifying for me. And he was very confident. He loved a puppy party. And these days, I wouldn't run a puppy party. It's just not what we do. And we think very differently here at Absolute Dogs about socialization and many different things that relate. However, he got hold of something in that class, and I can't remember what it was, like some squeaky animal. And I went to get it from him, and he did that look where I'm going to freeze and I'm going to swallow it. And you know that look when a dog is going to swallow something, and you also know the surgery and the fact that this is a 9-week-old, 10-week-old puppy, and you just don't need any of it. And he was also not mine, so I was taking him and he wasn't mine. And in that moment where he went to swallow the thing, I did the immediate scatter a load of food and leave him alone. And I was like, away I go. And it is such an important thing, isn't it? Knowing what to do in a situation like that. And for you, like I said, that trick is actually very purposeful and it's very meaningful. So some of my tricks are quite purposeful. They're quite thought out. Like, I'm going to need this for this, or I'm going to need that for that. Like, I think my youngest dog, she's called Skittles. I would say for her, she's going to need to learn a reverse back and maybe some down sit stand precision because she's going to break start lines. I can see it already. Like, she's got like so much pulse that you're like, oh, hold it in a box. So I think she's going to need to learn a bit of like hold work, and I would make her tricks meaningful. So reverse would be really useful for her. Sit down stand would be really useful for her. Position changes would be really useful. Whereas for toy, she's never tried to swallow a toy on me, and she's also quite good at retrieving and she's quite good at putting things at you. So those wouldn't be her tricks, but for Rupee, those would be perfect tricks. For Katie, things like toes, and for middle, toes, and for Rupert with that. I don't know if you want to explain why that's a really useful skill for a naughty but nice dog, whereas actually the Skittles, I probably didn't want her near my toes because she's already all over me. And you're like, seriously, can you go away? You're actually too much. But for Katie or Rupert, I would really love that skill. And so I think for tricks, you can also be really intentional about your tricks, which I think gives you more bang for your buck. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. So middle is one we learned really early on when we started training with Absolute Dogs and joined Games Club. But we leveled it up to putting his toes on my feet, partly because it's fun and it looks cute, but it's got so many real life uses as well. If we're out and about, he's not great with other dogs and he doesn't like other dogs coming into his space. So putting him in middle is great because it generally means back off a bit. This is my space. But then if I can put his paws on my feet as well, it really anchors him. I think it makes him feel quite safe. it probably makes him even less of another dog's business because he really is grounded on me. It also means I know exactly where he is because I can feel him there. So it's just a really purposeful one that makes him feel safe and secure if something's going past him that he's not that keen on. And it says to other people, he's none of your business.
And it really does, doesn't it? It says, she's none of your business. Now, I don't know if you noticed recently, Karen, when we were training, but we had a little baby in the arena. So a little person running around the arena. She's such a cutie. And I mean, a human baby, not a dog baby. And that really changed my training session with my dog. And I think it would have probably done the same for you and Rupert.
Yep.
With a baby coming into the arena. Maybe not quite as much as it did for me. My dog definitely became quite vigilant. Liza's little dog, really, Katie. But I used middle toes there because I knew I could still anchor her. And I also knew that even if I was talking to an instructor, I could feel where she was. So there was no me having to put her under my arms or put her in a crate or collar holder. I actually could just put her in my mid and I would feel her pressure. And it's a really funny thing. It makes me quite weirdly emotional. It's probably my stage or age or something. I don't know. It's what people say, isn't it? Makes it quite emotional, but you're really in tune with them. Like you're really in tune and you can feel if their pulse is different or if their weight is different or if their breath is different. You really feel them. And for me, boys, it's just a lovely space to work with a dog. It's like my favorite thing to talk about, I suppose, is that connection.
Yeah, you definitely feel connected. And you can also tell. So if I put Rupert in middle, if he feels slightly insecure about something, he's probably quite likely to back out and try and get away from it. That would be his choice, I think. Whereas if he's anchored on my feet, I think he just feels so much more secure as well that he will tend. I mean, if a dog still kind of completely invaded his space, I don't know how I would let that happen, but it can happen, can't it? He would still probably not stay there, but he's just got that really secure space where he feels happy and he knows I've got it and I'm in control of what's going on in his kind of immediate area. So yeah, for him it's a really good one.
And tell us about his favorite trick, orbit.
Orbit, he loves to orbit. Only in one direction. That one of our current projects is to get him reversing around me in the opposite direction. We're almost there. We built that on a foundation of back foot targeting because I discovered it was another one of those tricks that took a long time to get. He just didn't really understand he had back feet for a long time. And then as soon as he cracked it, he loved it and he'll offer it if he gets a chance. If I ask for front feet on and he can put his back feet on, he'll do it. So for us, that was the obvious way to teach orbiting, so reversing around me, because it built on something that was already really valuable to him. There are other ways you can teach it, standing in a corner and various other ways, but that was the way that worked for him. And he totally loves it. And what I find useful with things like that as well is it really gives me a kind of, I can sense how he's feeling in a different environment by whether he will do a trick like that. So if I take him to a new environment and ask him to orbit or twizzle is what we say, if he won't do it, I know he's not feeling that secure and happy in that environment. And so there's either stuff distracting him or his attention's not quite where it should be, or he's just feeling a little bit overwhelmed.
No, I love it. What I love about tricks like that as well, their proximity to you is so good. And they're movement based and they're fun and they're not anything that you need to use for anything else. And yet they still link to you. So yep. I think you and Eliza, to be honest, you're in a very similar journey. So very similar journey, different behaviors, different struggles, but similar journey. So I think you're good comparisons to sort of enjoy the comparison as well. Now, I would love you to tell listeners, if anyone was out there thinking about buying the book, because I know you've done a lot of work with the book and you've trained a lot of what's in the book. What would you say if someone was sat on the fence and thinking maybe they should have a dip into the tricks book?
If you want to train tricks, it's the book to get. It really is. It's so detailed. I've looked at quite a lot of other tricks books. And this one is a lot heftier. But it's heftier in a good way because it's got so much detail in it, and it gives you all the foundation. So if you're brand new to tricks, it gives you everything that you need to get started. But it also gives you so much step by step and different ways of teaching tricks.
And it's very, very, very visual, right? Like there's a lot of visual in there. There's a lot of diagrams in there, which I think another a lot of tricks books lack. I'm going to just pick it up because I've got it in front of me because I was reading it last night. What I love is I'm like literally flicking through here now and you can really see sort of, I don't know, here's the stages of cross pause and you can really see every little visual stage of it. And I really love that. Like I just, again, it's a bit goosebumpy for me. Like I said, I'm just a bit emotional at the moment.
But, and it's got lots of different dogs in it. And it tells you, so for example, if you've got a dog with a particular, it'll tell you if a trick is less likely to be appropriate for your dog, it'll really make you think about that kind of stuff as well. So jumping tricks, Rupert's got a luxating patella. There are certain tricks that I probably wouldn't choose to do with him. So it really makes you think about what purpose you are training tricks for, and weaving them into your life and making them fun but also purposeful.
And can tricks be for everyone, Karen?
Definitely. There's a trick for every dog, or there's probably lots of tricks for every dog. You just have to find the right ones, and part of that is knowing what your dog enjoys doing, because at the end of the day it is really about having a good fun time with your dog. And what's suited to your dog. So that might be a dog's body shape. It might be the way their brain is shaped. You might be wanting to teach them particular skills, and you can definitely do that through tricks. But yeah, there's definitely tricks for every dog.
And Karen, naughty but nice dogs in particular, dogs that struggle, bark, lunge, react, bite, basically general menaces and pests, and you adore them, but you sometimes wonder why on earth you own them. How does it help those dogs?
You pretty much described Rupert there. Excuse you. I agree with you.
Yes, it's me, Karen. It's me. It's my book. I love the book to the point that I want to be all over it. In fact, I'm even in it. tell us about it. Like, how does it help? Because I think that was always my passion. That was always where I started when I got into this. I always had a very difficult dog. And I think I felt very at the edge of everything because of having a naughty but nice dog. I walked in the dark, I avoided everybody, I took her to dog shows, and she was a brilliant dog. Like, she took me to world championships twice, and yet I always felt quite ostracized because of her behavior, and I felt very unwelcome because of her behavior. And so I wish I'd known about tricks then, and I really didn't. Like, I'd been to like a workshop with Richard Curtis, who was a great he worked a music player, and yet I didn't really know the impact of tricks on a naughty but nice dog. So what could tricks do for a naughty but nice dog?
Definitely build their confidence and optimism, definitely build your relationship, and definitely give you something fun to focus on that kind of takes you out of that mindset of I've got to deal with this behavior issue, or I've got to deal with that, or I've got to go for a walk and my dog's going to pull me down the street and bark at another dog. You actually don't have to go for a walk if you don't want to do. You can enrich your dog's life in so many other ways. And tricks are definitely one of them. We do fitness at home as well. And the foundations for tricks and fitness are so similar. They're so versatile in what they bring to your life with your dog. And as an owner of a naughty but nice dog who is very challenging, they definitely bring the fun.
I agree. The fun is a huge element. And I love that it gives you something lighthearted to focus on that's not so serious, and you can kind of laugh at each other because it is funny at the end of the day, isn't it? It's like I was doing I don't even know what Liza calls it, rebound with Katie the other day. And she literally kicked me so hard that I was like, oh my God. But it just made me, I mean, it didn't hurt. It was just funny. She's only about 9 kilos, so she's not a very big dog. And so it's very funny. But at the same time, yeah, it makes you laugh, doesn't it? And the other thing I really like about tricks is the energy. I think the energy is good. I think we all need a bit more energy. And there's that song, isn't there? More energy, more passion. So I think that more energy is good. Karen, it's been a pleasure. I think one thing we should do, I think we should give everybody who's listening to this something special. What could we do? You know what? Everyone that orders the tricks book as a direct result of listening to this podcast, there'll be a code. The code will be TRICKS5. You will get £5 off the tricks book. And we might even be able to put a little clicker in there for you as well. If you put the code in, you must put the code in though, TRICKS5, before you check out, there must be the code in there, and that'll give you £5 off book, and it will also give you a free clicker. Why? Because you're listening. What I'd love you to do is share this podcast. Please share it with your mother, your sister, your father, your brother, your long lost lover, definitely your neighbor, and anyone in your dog owning circle, or to be honest, someone also that may be struggling with the dog, because those are the perfect people to give some free information, and hopefully they'll have a fun journey with tricks and hacks and all of the different skills that we give here in the Sex in Squirrel podcast. Karen, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Rupert, as well. You were great with your chew.
Thank you.
And we will join you for the next podcast. Literally, we can't wait to dive into something pretty special. And I'm not going to tell you anymore because you're going to be there. I'll see you soon. Take care, guys. Stay sexy.